I think it's fair to say that this community is concerned about the direction the Ann Arbor Public Schools is going in and what is happening with the teachers' contract and how this is impacting our children, and perhaps none more so than retired teachers who are watching from the sidelines but giving their support. Supporting Ann Arbor teachers, the topic today on the Lucy Ann Lantz Show, Ann Arbor's talk station, 1290 WLBY. Members of the local Alpha Rho chapter of Delta Kappa Gamma are concerned about what the group is calling an unrealistic offer recently made to the high-quality educators of our children. Sue Lloyd is a retired teacher. She's a member of Delta Kappa Gamma Alpha Rho chapter. She's past president and program chair. Welcome. It's so nice to have you here.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
I had a great time with your group. I was invited to come out on Monday, and it was a special day because you were preparing lunches for school children through Food Gatherers, a relationship that your group has. Yeah. And we were decorating the lunch bags, and it sent me right back to Pittsfield Elementary doing this.
We filled over 100 bags, lunch bags for kids, and this is the third year we've done that. It's one of my favorite activities that we do. We decorate the bags.
I had so much fun, and I think your group is remarkable. You do so much to support teachers in our community.
Thank you.
And even though you're retired now, you haven't forgotten about the important role you have played in the community.
Well, I raised three children, and they graduated from Huron High School, and I am so proud of each of them and pleased with the education they got there. So, yeah, you can't forget about that important relationship that you have with schools.
Sue Lloyd is a graduate of Eastern Michigan University with degrees in education, English language and literature, and home economics, master's degree in family life education with a vocational certification from EMU, and a master's in school and library science. The learning never stopped for you, right?
Oh, no. I couldn't stop myself. But we lived in New Jersey for a while in Princeton, and my daughter started kindergarten, and I woke up one morning and said, I'm going to library school. So I did drive up to Rutgers, and it was a 36-hour master's degree in library science, and it was one of the best experiences of my life. I loved being a librarian, and that was the last 22 years of my career, was being a high school and middle school library media specialist. So, yeah, it was the best choice.
From your vantage point, from your perspective, how do you view what's going on now? I mean, you've had a lot of years as an educator yourself. You've probably seen a lot. What do you make out of this current situation?
Well, pretty simply, it seems like the board has made a big mistake with their budget, and that is affecting how they're able to negotiate. And I understand that is a difficult situation for them, but that doesn't change the fact that teachers are doing their job, and teachers are, you know, working and need to be compensated for what they do and all the effort they put into that job. Also, there are issues with federal funds coming into the school districts, and that can change. As we lose students for whatever reason, that changes the amount of money that comes into the school district, and that hurts a lot. So there are a lot of factors, but, you know, nobody can ignore the $25 million loss.
What I don't understand is why are we having the teachers take the brunt of it to make up for these mistakes?
Yeah. Teachers have already invested in their education as an undergrad, just getting a degree in education. And then they also almost always pay for any further education that they get, any professional development that they do, although the district does provide opportunities for that, sketch credits. They also pay with their own personal time, the time that they spend going to camp with kids in the summer or during the school year, time that they spend from their own on leading concerts and all the different things that they do, not to mention lesson plans and grading papers all Sunday afternoon, especially English teachers have that issue. So there's a lot of ways that teachers spend their own personal time and money to be in the position they're in. And then to be asked to accept such a low pay raise is more than they should have to deal with.
And the starting salary for a teacher in the Ann Arbor Public Schools is less than elsewhere, or comparatively when you look at cost of living in the various communities,
right.
It's around, what, $44,000, something like that,
yeah,
a year. Who can live on that?
Well, not in Ann Arbor.
Right.
You can't. And a lot of places you can't. So, yes, that's an issue, too.
And I know some of the criticism has been that there hasn't been any, it seems anyway, any concession coming from administration.
Not yet.
Their bonuses are still happening. Their salary increases are happening. They're getting more insurance costs paid for than
exactly
the teachers.
Yes. So that, too, is a problem when in trying to accept what they've offered, and is that they don't have administrators also, you know, facing this issue at all.
Yeah. I want to share with you something I found on Reddit today from a student who had posted this from a student's perspective on what has been happening and how it has impacted these children out there. I mean, they're cognizant of what's going on, and they're feeling the pain as well. This person writes, "Hello, I am a high school student who is currently attending one of Ann Arbor Public Schools. Due to the absence of teacher contract and the ongoing negotiation that hasn't progressed a lot, students, including me, are experiencing a serious inconvenience. The teachers are unable to respond to student emails other than their strict working hours. Students cannot hold clubs and so on. When this matter arose a few months ago, we students treated it as a temporary event and didn't really mind about it. However, as this has become a prolonged issue, it started to harm students' academic futures and social welfare." You know, I started thinking about how COVID did that as well.
Mm-hmm.
There was such a gap that was left after COVID for many students out there, and, mm-hmm. and some of them have not even caught up beyond that.
That's true.
And I think this student is making a valid point here of what they're losing out, especially when teachers who maybe have been coaches or doing extracurricular things beyond the school can't do that now. This person writes, "To simply put, a legal conflict that students are not involved in is damaging students' lives."
Right. And just stop and think about how articulate that letter is and how he learned to write and express his attitude about that. It was a teacher,
that
many
did that,
teachers
yeah.
who taught him that. And what a beautiful letter.
It is. So your organization, which supports educators out there, tell me a little bit about it and what your role is. Delta Kappa Gamma.
It's an organization that started in 1929 in Austin, Texas, and it was women who got together to support educators, basically. But there are other things that we have as part of our mission, but education is at the top of the list. And we are active in 17 countries around the world. We have conferences, we have conventions every year, we have international conventions every year. We had one in Detroit 2 or 3 years ago that was really, really interesting to go to and meet people from around the world. It's very active. And we have, part of us is the DKG US Forum. And that is a element of our organization in the state and in the country that goes to Washington and lobbies with our legislators there to tell them why we think it's important that they vote for some issue on a particular matter, and just provide input to them about what we feel and what is important to educators. So we're lobbying, too, for education.
And you also support students in many ways.
We have some of our members tutor. One gal just finished yesterday working, and I forget the name of the place where she works, but she's tutoring kids. And she told me last Monday night she was teaching them how to write opinion essays. So, and some tutor at Peace Neighborhood. We're pretty involved there with tutoring, and we offer them a scholarship, actually, students every year, more than one sometimes, to women who are going on to college mm-hmm. and are needy. And so our experience with them is very positive and ongoing.
Who can join your organization, DKG?
Well, any person who's been involved in education. We have a university a woman who worked in the dental school and worked with the students, the dental students there. We have many librarians, both at in local libraries here on campus even. And then other than that, mostly teachers. Unfortunately, we don't have men yet, but that's my biggest issue.
And I know that you'll do nice things and bring in food for teachers into their teachers' lounges and that sort of thing.
Yes, we do that, yeah.
To show that kind of support. Your support has been profound, I think, but perhaps none more so than how you have been speaking up about this issue currently, which really seems dire right now. There is a threat of the state taking over the Ann Arbor Public School District.
Oh, that's unbelievable. It really is. I mean, in a city like Ann Arbor, where education is at the top, the pinnacle of experience here, and to say that we can't even pay our teachers enough to educate the kids in our community is just a travesty. And it's disrespectful to our students and or teachers also, but it like makes the students seem insignificant. And that's a big word for that. But that young man is expressing the same kind of feelings. So I don't think it's off base.
Sue Lloyd, you were going to speak at the school board meeting last evening. Right. That meeting, I was shocked at this, was canceled allegedly due to a lack of a quorum.
Right.
I haven't seen that happen with a school board meeting in recent history.
Oh, really? I don't know that, but it makes sense. Why to not have a quorum, I understand why that's important, because if you're going to vote on anything at all, you need to have a quorum make those votes.
Is it something they didn't want to face? I don't know. And one teacher told me yesterday that the union is now united on this. You know, when you have, 99.6% of the union voting no the tentative agreement, you've got a pretty united force out there.
Absolutely. So the union leaders are really doing a great job of holding them together, because when you're facing the potential of maybe not having a paycheck, maybe having to lose your job, or take a pay cut, or pay 35% of your insurance premiums, it's a thing that can make life-changing decisions for families, not just the person, but the teacher, but the family. If they can't afford to live in Ann Arbor anymore, if they can't afford to, take care of their family the way they want to, educate them the way they want to, then they're losing out. It's painful for teachers to be going through this, especially for this long, and to face summer and not know what's going to happen by fall is a travesty.
I read one report that the increase in the health insurance for teachers was the amount of 3 mortgage payments for one person.
I don't know how you do that.
I don't either. You had one of your members who has a spouse who is still in the schools, and this person, she was a retired teacher, and she said that they're paying, what was it, $25,000 a year for health insurance?
I missed the detail, but that wouldn't be surprising at all.
And I'm confused whether this is a Michigan law currently or a pending Michigan law, but it had been a House bill that was going to require an 80-20 health care split for teachers. In other words, the state would require this, that this is the way it works, where they'd pay 20% and the district would pay 80%. The current situation here is they're asking teachers to waive the rights to that. So it's all concessions for the teachers. And I fully understand that I don't understand fully the issues, all the issues that are surrounding this. Part of it is the narrative that the district is very protective, the administration, of what is coming out. And I think that is, part of the issue here is there's not a great understanding in our community of what is happening here. And there have been parents groups, and I've had them on the air here, pushing against this. Thankfully, they're the ones getting the information out. I just wish the district would be more forthcoming. Mm-hmm. You were going to share a little bit about what you were going to say to the school board last night, Sue, if you would be so kind to read some of what you had prepared.
Okay. I think the important thing is that teachers need to feel respected by their community, and they need to be respected in a variety of ways for their formal education that they've achieved, their ongoing professional development, as I said before, and additional certifications that enhance their teaching skills and their performance in the classroom. I think they deserve, we all think they deserve respect for special education teachers, social workers, school psychologists, counselors, library media specialists, and other support staff who are essential to meeting the needs of the kids in the school. I think they deserve more respect for their dedication to teaching to the very best of their ability every hour of every school day and well into their teaching hours. Teachers regularly share their personal time. We've talked about that before. But all the things that we don't even think about, they do. They are creating lesson plans on their own time. They're grading papers. They're tutoring kids before and after school, sometimes sharing their lunch with them. They're attending IEP meetings and 504 meetings with and they're trying to make sure that they stay on target with the kids and that getting the help that they need.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, they deserve respect for their determination to reach every student where they are and guide them along a path to gain knowledge, improve skills, and prepare to become contributing members to our community and democracy. So unfortunately, the contract that they offered is disrespectful and short-sighted. It places unreasonable burdens on teachers and forces possibly life-changing decisions on them and their families. It displays a lack of appreciation for and understanding of the teaching profession and essential role educators play. The Ann Arbor School Board has selected each of these teachers on their staff for their expertise and skills, commitment to education, and their ability to pass on the love of learning to our children. They have met their expectations. Now it's the obligation of the board to offer a compensation package to the outstanding educators in our community that is equitable and well-deserved.
But the big question remains, where do we get the funds from?
Mm-hmm.
That's what the whole holdup is in this.
Right, exactly. And teachers have no control over that.
Good point. We need a little Aretha Franklin, some R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Yeah, yeah.
Sue Lloyd, retired teacher, past president and program chair of Delta Kappa Gamma Alpha Rho chapter. This organization concerned about what is going on in our local schools. This is an international society active in 17 countries around the world and dedicated to the grand idea from our founders that the education of our children is the bedrock of our democracy. Thank you, Sue.
Thank you.
You're listening to Ann Arbor's Talk Station, 1290 WLBY.